You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
mess with your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people. Stop giving up yourself. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Today is Juneteenth Day, 2024. June 19th, Juneteenth Day. We're going to explore that, talk about that, and so forth. So hope you can hang with us on this Juneteenth Day. Some of you were supposed to work today, but of course, because it is Juneteenth Day, you're off. It is a federal holiday signed in 2021 by Joe Biden. And so for those federal employees, the post office and schools and so forth, and some city and state employees, you are off today. Cool. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see at the very top, African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, of course, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Tomorrow, from 8 to 10, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, on Thursdays, from 8 to 10. Friday from 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And, of course, there is a shortcut you can use. I have announced it recently, but of course you can, whatever search engine that you have, put in the search babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is webuyblack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, webuyblack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tahimba is ready to take our people once again on the trip of a lifetime. Next month, July 11th to the 23rd, Ghana. November 20th to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya, May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana, November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. And of course, go to the page. You have all kinds of information. If you don't want to take one of those trips, but you are going to take a trip out of the country, you can utilize that page with the information that you need, particularly if you're going to Africa, the visas you may need, and any additional information, shots, and so forth. All of that's right there. Africa for the African. Brother
AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha Incorporated, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad, and the programs that it has, the Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Golden Grower, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs, and of course, the Kashi Project. And there is a fest that is going to be October 12th of this year, October 12th, in Ghana. More information on that as it comes. Okay? Africa for the Africans. Excuse me. HabeshaIncorporated.org. All right. And LEDGE. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries, over 172 employed, and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE group. They deal in the 4 areas of human necessity, of human essentials, and that is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE group. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, and of course, he is the wellness minister. The wellness minister, he's in Kenya, and hopefully you look forward to him returning and talk about the things that he did to help impact the issues that are affecting African people. Good brother. Nathaniel Jordan, the minister of wellness. Smy Pharmacy, another good brother, Brother Jabril. Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. Or drop him an email at smyfarmacy@gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation, providing sustainable clean water, which is vitally important to human life. So check out the website, the Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation. All right. Okay. I gotta get some information to Brother Apollo. So I will try my best to do that ASAP. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta in the West End, up the street from me. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. And, of course, Saturday and Sunday they serve vegan dishes, but they have all kinds of delicious things and dry goods and all kind of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. It's right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna in the West End here in Atlanta. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, and she's a nice place. And, of course, it's a great bookstore, so check it out in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Want to give her a call? Call her at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The other bookstore we also promote is my good friend, Brother Kazim Dejamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar at the Black Dot. This Saturday. Oh, man. Baba Baruti will be there this Saturday. And it was on Facebook. But, of course, when you go back to Facebook, if it's been on there long, to keep something else, damn. But I'll give you that information. Like I said, it's this Saturday. The Dr. Amos Wilson book, African Consciousness versus the New World Order, which is talking about in the age of Garveyism. So it's going to be a very interesting and good program. And that's this Saturday at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. If you want to give them a call them at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. Also, east of Atlanta, and that's where the Black Dot is, east of Atlanta, off of exit 74 off of I-20. Off of exit 75 off of I-20 and make a right, and three lights make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us. Tomorrow night, the Us Lifting Us. Ulu, their Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10 on Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. You can call to ask questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia, to be exact. Give Brother BJ a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. He's got it going on. He's got that place packed, man. All kind of good stuff for you. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. My good sister Shelly Amonsette. Give her a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Aiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, has been working with these beautiful children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Brothers and sisters, they rely on the kindness and the goodness of us as a people. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. So I'm saying go to Sanjay, SONJAYITI.org. Sanjay-IET.org. Okay. Let me see if I can find that information. You know? Yeah. Let me see if I can find that information for you. I'm going to try. Okay. And okay. And of course, I'm going to give you that information, and I'm still going to do that when I get my act together. And it'll come up. It's coming up. My computers are slow, man. I tell you. Oh, well. Just how it goes, you know? Sometimes. Yeah, some. Okay, I'll see if that plays out. Okay. June 18th. I'm reading from the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, Baba Baruti's second volume, the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, June 18th. Ma'at teaches us to keep our hearts light, how to treat each other, ourselves, and the world. We must also bring Ma'at to our past. This is the work of lightening the heart. One can go back through their memory and consider each situation that caused anger or sadness and then truly redress the situation. Cry, release the pain. Then look for the lessons. Look at the fact that if you had not come through this situation, you would not be where you are today. Warriors must learn to stop judging themselves, particularly their past and their work, so harshly. They must learn how to differentiate between ignorance and stupidity, and they must come to accept that what they did before consciousness occurred when they were in a state of abject ignorance. And understand, family, ignorance is just absence of knowledge. And it's easy to do, to impart new knowledge. So, it was not stupidity because you did not know. Yes, anything done when you did not know our truth and their true self-worth is worthy of correction, but not masochistic punishment. Has it been said, never be a prisoner of your past. It is just a lesson, not a life sentence. Relative forgiveness, the mission within your personal vision is clear. You correct your errors so that others who look up to you will not be able to use you as an excuse to do the same or worse. Of this, Nana Malcolm X, El Haj Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omawale, is an excellent example. So do not beat yourself to functional death through a debilitating self-anger, twice serving evil. Warriors must find ways to forgive themselves for all the wrongs that they have done to themselves, their loved ones, the larger community, and the African nation. They must cry, release the pain, and come to understand that forgiveness is an active verb, which requires commensurate correction in order for it to take on meaning. Affirm, I have lightened my heart. Affirm, I have lightened my heart. June 19th, Juneteenth Day. We blind our children, blind them to their potential, the human potential. Cripple them, dispirit them. Cripples make good clients, wards, beggars, and victims. Tony K. Bambara. Our warriors in training are being trained and turned into cripples by the very people responsible for bringing them into this reality and who have been charged by the spirit and our story with rearing them into warriors. And at the heart of this turning lies the spoilage of these children. Spoilage systematically interrupts and retards the development of a person's intellectual, spiritual, and emotional character. And in some cases, it permanently cripples it. It does this through arresting their self-discipline and correcting any moral possibilities that may encounter in life. And as a result, their vision, motivation, and potential are severely weakened. Spoilage involves the breeding of lesser, more easily corruptible persons because those who are spoiled have been consistently kept away from the internal struggles necessary to identify and strengthen the focus and the resolve of one's personal power. The more spoiled individuals are, the less struggle they will have dealt with, and they're weaker, and they will be in all areas in life where they will be presented with challenges. The more spoiled individuals are, the more difficult it will be for them to correctively and creatively, diligently, and thoroughly surmount the challenges of this and any other reality. We once knew that a child without discipline is a child without love, that spoilage lavishly is applied produces cripples. We once knew that struggle consciously embraced produces warriors and challenges them because we love them. We must return to our natural way and give our children the disciplining struggles they need to walk under their own power or continue to fail them miserably. I allow our children the struggles that strengthen them. Affirm, I allow our children the struggles that strengthen them. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of daily revolutionary thought. Today, of course, is Juneteenth Day, June 19th. Milwaukee has been celebrating Juneteenth Day over 50 years. In fact, I had to make sure I was in Milwaukee in 2021 because it was 1971 that the first Juneteenth Day took place on King Drive. It was 3rd Street then. And Never forget it. In fact, it lasted in the night. Yeah, it lasted. They stopped that, you know. Yeah, they stopped that. It lasted in the night, and they had to, you know, had it cut off by, I think, in about the 80s during 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at dusk. So, yeah, Juneteenth Day. Unfortunately, there have been some incidents at Juneteenth Day because it's a free street festival and people come from any and all directions, you know, but it is a beautiful thing. I've always enjoyed Juneteenth Day. In fact, I didn't miss a Juneteenth Day, I don't believe, until I became a firefighter. And ironically, for a couple of years before I could get off, Juneteenth Day was on the day that I had to work. And then later we started, those who wanted to volunteer to go down to Juneteenth Day and ride on the fire engine and hand out information about the fire service and fire safety and so forth, I've never been Smokey the Bear or Sparky the Fire Dog. No, I've never done that. But, you know, we've always had a presence, and our presence is on King Drive and Locust Street. In fact, that's where the main stage is, which is right in front of the police station, 5th District Police Station. That's the main stage where they make the announcements and talk about the Juneteenth ball and present the young ladies who are the contestants in the Juneteenth Day pageant and so forth. But yeah, man, I tell you. And of course, King Drive is going through a lot of changes. You know, they have a lot of construction going on, but they're just going to have Juneteenth Day. Yes, sir. They're going to have Juneteenth Day. In fact, it is extended beyond the streets that it has always had to go right past my house on 5th and 5th Street. So anyway, we're going to talk about Juneteenth Day and its history. Let me just say this. So I want to be clear. I've never been, really, after understanding Juneteenth Day, a big proponent of Juneteenth Day. I like the observance. I think that's cool to acknowledge, but it's problematic to me. But when you talk about the Caucasian had to go down to Galveston, Texas, and that's the fact. I mean, you know, wasn't going to be no brothers doing it. So Colonel Granger went down to Galveston, Texas, and from the balcony of some building, read the Emancipation Proclamation, and you know, which is 2.5 years after 1863, January 1st, 1863, which said that we were emancipated or free, you know, in the states where it would apply. And then he issues the proclamation in June 19th of 1865 in Galveston, Texas. You know, there's a piece I like to play. Gives you a good history. I think I will play it because I think that a lot of times I think this was more objective than the flowery history that this one piece. So I'm going to play that. And hopefully you get a good understanding of Juneteenth Day. And don't get me wrong. I think that Juneteenth Day is something that definitely should be observed. And I don't like the flag of Juneteenth Day, with the star and the aura around it and the red, white, and blue. You know? Yeah. I mean, we got a flag. It's been in existence a long time. You know, it's just like for me, I think a day for us, though of course the argument is that Juneteenth Day is for us as American Africans who have suffered the enslavement. We suffered enslavement across this world. In fact, what I hate and constantly using that word slave, and you heard my opening, the libation, and you know, we always talking about we were slaves. We're not slaves. We're captives. We're prisoners. It is important to use the proper language and gives you the proper perspective and vision. But we keep using, and this society loves to use it. White folks love to call us slaves. And in turn, because we are educated by them, we follow them, we call ourselves slaves. And when you use the right terminology, it's a different connotation, it's a different vision. So we're going to play this piece. It'll give you a proper, you know, understanding, I think, of Juneteenth. Yeah. So, it's about 11 minutes. So it's a good piece. So let's check it out.
The word Juneteenth is a portmanteau, a word that blends the sounds and combines the meanings of two others, in this case, June and 19th. It is derived from a general order announcing the emancipation of slaves that was issued on June 19th, 1865.
See, there you go with that. They're slaves.
The Civil War had ended just 2 months earlier, and the general order came 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln's original Emancipation Proclamation, which read, "All persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free." Yet when General Granger and 1,800 troops of the 13th Army Corps arrived in Galveston, Texas on June 19, 1865, they realized blacks were still being held as slaves. Let's dive into that history. Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered in Virginia, and Texas, which had seceded from the Union on February 1, 1861, formally fell. This was the reason for General Granger's visit, to assume authority over the people of Texas and enforce Lincoln's original proclamation, which was issued January 1, 1863. While the Emancipation Proclamation had seen close to 200,000 blacks enlist in the Union Army to fight the South, 250,000 slaves remained in Texas following the war and were shocked by Granger's general order. General Order No. 3 was handwritten and read by General Granger as he stood on the balcony of Ashton Villa, former headquarters of the Confederate Army. This officially ended slavery in the state of Texas. The order reads as follows. Headquarters, District of Texas, Galveston, Texas, June 19, 1865. General Orders No. 3. The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freedmen are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness, either there or elsewhere. By order of Major General Granger, F.W. Emery, Major Assistant Adjutant General. The proclamation from the Executive of the United States refers to Abraham Lincoln, who was dead, yet his order lived on. Texas was home to the last remaining legally enslaved blacks in the U.S., While a messenger had been sent to Texas to issue the order by announcing the emancipation of blacks, slave owners ignored the report and withheld the information from their slaves so that business could continue as usual with a free labor force. Since Texas remained a Confederate state until General Lee's surrender in April 1865, emancipation was not enforced. General Granger was given command of the District of Texas and dispatched to Galveston with Union troops for this reason. After General Granger read the order publicly from the balcony of Ashton Villa, he sent his men marching through Galveston to read the general order in various locations. These included their headquarters at the Osterman Building, the local courthouse, and the Negro Church on Broadway, now known as Reedy Chapel AME Church. All Texans were officially informed that, per Lincoln's original proclamation, all slaves were now free. The annual celebration of Juneteenth arose from this event. Officially called Emancipation Day, June 19th is also called Freedom Day and Juneteenth Independence Day in some circles. It would seem that the arrival of General Granger and his Union troops, coupled with their grand announcement, instantly led to 250,000 slaves experiencing freedom. But this couldn't be farther from the truth. Some chroniclers of Juneteenth's history would have us believe otherwise. One source, National Today, a site that keeps track of holidays and special moments on the cultural calendar, writes, "Granger's arrival with the grand news stirred the air with jubilance and massive celebrations across the state. A former slave named Felix Haywood gave his recount of the first celebration in 1865. We was all walking on golden clouds. Everybody went wild. We was free. Just like that, we was free." Felix Haywood, an elderly blind ex-slave from San Antonio, Texas, may have spoken this account, but what happened immediately following the proclamation of the order in Galveston was quite different for many. The news spread quickly on the relatively small island city of Galveston, but the day of freedom did not come as expected. In the book Lone Star Pass, Memory and History in Texas, Elizabeth Hayes Turner, a professor of history at the University of North Texas, writes, "The former Confederate mayor rounded up black runaways and held them for return to their owners. The Union Army's provost marshal went along with this action, but did so for the purpose of holding them as laborers for the military. Freedmen who entered the town after that found themselves pressed into military service. Although the announcement had come, for many, freedom still seemed elusive." Freedom did come to Galveston when Union troops occupied the island, but even with 1,800 troops, Granger's general order took some time to reach the ears of plantation owners and their 250,000 slaves across the vast stretches of Texas. Some government agents did not arrive at distant plantations for months, and after they did arrive, plantation owners decided when and how to relate the news to their slaves. Many waited till after the season's harvest to do so. Turning to Elizabeth Hayes Turner once more, concerning Texas slaves, she writes in Lone Star Pass, "When they did get the news and attempted to act on it by leaving, their immediate joy succumbed to despair as white vigilantes punished former slaves for preferring freedom to labor exploitation. Uncertainty mixed with high expectations for the future. The size of the state, the long distances between farms, the thin lines of Union protection, the remoteness from urban areas and from the heart of the defeated Confederacy conspired to bring emancipation more slowly into the interior of Texas." Historians estimate that 38,000 former soldiers from the Confederacy's Trans-Mississippi Department headed home following the war, but they ransacked and pillaged towns as they went. Soldiers from the Texas division of this Confederate department did no less. Arriving at the state's capital, Austin, battle-hardened ex-Confederate soldiers robbed the state treasury. Anarchy unfolded elsewhere in the state as well, and General Granger's 1,800 troops were not enough to maintain order in all of Texas, nor provide adequate protection to so many scattered former slaves. The Freedmen's Bureau sent reinforcements, Texas being the last state in the Union they assisted in this way, but its officers reached the state in early September 1865, nearly 3 months after June 19th. Freedom celebrations were seen here and there among slaves following the public reading of General Order No. 3, but the idealized notion of widespread jubilation experienced by slaves immediately thereafter is a fallacy. collected enslaved narratives, a folk history of slavery in the United States from interviews with former slaves, a former Rusk County slave from the era named Susan Merritt reported, "Lots of niggas was killed after freedom. They owners have them bushwhacked, shot down. You could see lots of niggas hanging to trees in Sabine Bottom right after freedom, cause they catch them swimming across Sabine River and shoot them. They sure gonna be lots of souls cry against them in judgment." None of this was cause for celebration, which is probably why you see black people staring stone-faced at the camera in early photos depicting observances of Juneteenth. Irrespective of that, resilient ex-slaves persevered in the face of seemingly insurmountable adversity and turned June 19th into an annual day of remembrance and eventually true celebration. The first official Juneteenth was observed 1 year after Union troops arrived in Galveston. June 19, 1866 was a day that saw blacks holding prayer meetings and singing spirituals, many wearing brand new clothes as a mark of newfound freedom. In time, black people in other states followed suit, embracing Juneteenth as Texan ex-slaves migrated throughout the U.S., taking the celebration wherever they went. Unlike other proposed dates that have failed to hold in the minds and hearts of blacks, including Lincoln's January 1, 1863 Emancipation Proclamation, June 19th endures. On the one hand, the January 1st date is overshadowed by New Year's Day, and on another, many were still slaves in states where Union forces had not arrived to liberate them. Though individual states did not officially embrace the celebration or acknowledge the day for over a century, that began to change when the state where Juneteenth was born, Texas, declared it an official paid state holiday in 1980. During the regular session of the 66th legislature, Texas House Bill 1016 passed, making June 19th Emancipation Day for blacks in Texas. Since then, Texans have celebrated Juneteenth with picnics, dancing, and parades. The federal government, almost all individual states, and even private corporations have embraced the date as well, which stands as the oldest known official celebration commemorating the end of chattel slavery in the United States. On Thursday, June 17, 2021, President Joe Biden signed a congressional bill making Juneteenth a federal holiday. The event marked the 156th anniversary of the first Juneteenth. The United States has not had a new federal holiday since Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 1983.
That's, sorry about that, family. Yeah, I'll get, that's, I think that's a good documentary. I think that the documentary kind of lays it out because it's not real. Family. Okay. Yeah, he lays it out, and I think that's important. You know, obviously, as I stated very early. In the piece, I hate the constant use of the word slave, you know, in their reference to us. It just bothers the shit out of me, you know, because we were not slaves, we were captives. And what does a captive want to do? Get free. Because a slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We've never submitted. We resisted. We resisted on the continent. We resisted on those ships and throughout the so-called Middle Passage. We resisted in this hemisphere. There's hundreds of revolts recorded. Some not recorded. We fought. We resisted. We were not slaves. And see, what that does, family, it gives a different perspective because it's a different connotation. When you say it, it's put something into your mind. It gives you a vision. And they keep saying slave, slave. That word has become synonymous. It's just like the word Holocaust. The word Holocaust is not a European Jewish word. In fact, the European Jews have a word for what they experience. It's called a Shoah. But Holocaust has been used consistently over time that you think that that word only applies to them. In fact, when we began to use that word to talk about our situation, there became some pushback by European Jews. Because why? When you have words that reflect your situation, good, bad, or whatever, those words conjure up images and they have meaning. And so constantly calling us slaves puts into the image of us, as, you know, and as dogmatic as it is. And for them, the Holocaust puts an image for them into the world about what they had experienced. That's why I've often said and always will say, words. When you use words, they have multiple meanings and they conjure up images. And we need to look at the words that we use. I talked about that last month, I believe, or the month before last. So they came, of course, to they came down into Texas, and after 2.5 more years of free labor, they said, "We's free, we's free." And of course, where we gonna go? Just as it stated in the piece I just played, many of the so-called owners began to kill some of the brothers and sisters, knowing that they will just be let free. And whatever labor they could have gotten would not happen. The cost of what they paid would not be returned. So they just killed them. It's just like when Jack Johnson, the brother from Galveston, that's right, Jack Johnson, when Jack Johnson fought and people rallied around that and he won, sometimes it held a devastating effect within the community because some of the Caucasians could not fathom or take the fact that an African whooped a Caucasian's ass. And now they want to take it out on some unfortunate child or male or female or community. Yeah. Yeah, I know, family. We're dealing with some evil-ass people. And let me say this about what I just said. Some evil-ass people. Then and now. Then and now. I just played to you a few days ago about a number of Caucasians that said Howard Nicholas, and of course that other piece about eliminating us through vaccines, through poisons and so forth, because there's too much. They want to control population. And of course, it is our population. They want to get rid of us and get rid of us first because we, just as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing has said, we have the potential to genetically annihilate them. Our DNA, our melanin, which of course they don't have and they try desperately to get. They risk skin cancer. They shoot their ass up with collagen in their lips, in their ass, all kind of crazy stuff that they do. They hate us because they ain't us. So this is Juneteenth Day, 2024. And I know that here in Atlanta, we'll talk about that because the festivities are, there's some things happening, you know. Once again, Atlanta's a small city, but they deal in metropolitan area. So there's other counties that things are happening. I think something's happening in East Point, or what's that? North of East Point. But anyway, there might be something happening there. But I know the big thing for here is this weekend, Brother Bob Johnson with the Juneteenth Day Committee. He's been putting on Juneteenth Day since I've been here and probably before. And last year was in Centennial Park, which is located downtown next to the CNN building, next to the big Ferris wheel. And that was a nice turnout, a nice setup. But this time he's going to be in Piedmont Park. And he's been in other places. And he was right outside of the stadium, where the Falcons play, the new stadium there. That was nice. That was a nice venue as well. So we'll be doing that this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I know this Sunday, I was going to say that Papa Baruti will be at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore this Sunday. This Sunday. I'm trying to find that information. So I'm going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we'll open up the phone lines and give us your perspective on Juneteenth Day. And of course, it is a national holiday now. If you work for the federal government, you're off. If you work for state government, possibly, you know, states vary, but if you're a federal employee, you're off. And I know in some counties the schools are closed and summer schools are closed. Not happening today, rather. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we'll have a conversation on Juneteenth Day. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. Yeah. Okay, family. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Yet, hustle to the mall to get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around. You just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's right. Cool in the Gang, Summer Madness. And of course, Summertime, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Will Smith. Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? That is, that's tough. I love it. Give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Let us know what you think about Juneteenth Day
and what you're going to do on Juneteenth Day today or this weekend, you know, because it's going to all be good. You know that. That's right. Yeah, it's going to all be good. Juneteenth Day. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Not many of you in the queue yet. And good afternoon, my sister. How are you?
Oh, greetings. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well as well.
Doing your program as usual. The Juneteenth. When they were playing the, which you had played before the recording, it was getting unnerving to hear him keep referring to us as slaves.
Yes, I'm telling you, it does. It does. When they constantly refer to slaves.
Right, right. They like were slaves. The slaves didn't know they were slaves, but they were still slaves.
Yeah, because see, that takes our humanity away, you know?
Right.
Makes us the object. We're slaves. We're not human beings.
Right.
We're not Africans. Yeah,
and accept ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had got a good perspective with Baba Wakesa.
Uh-huh.
He was talking about the fallacies of this Juneteenth Day.
Okay.
And I really should have him on the program to really detail it. I've got to research it some more. He had cited these two references that were really good. It was called Journey of the Songhai, and about black soldiers. And also he talked about Black Reconstruction by Du Bois.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like, it was kind of enlightening, just like how Mama Marimba Ani, she's such a grand educator and teacher, and Jegna, she'll debunk Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving and Misgiving. And so there's a lot of fallacies with the Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. And one of the main points, don't have all the exact details, but one of the main points that he was emphasizing is that the African people, they liberated themselves. And he had pointed out how the North was losing the war. They were losing the Civil War. And so they had to have Africans to help win. Mm-hmm. And the Africans were fighting because they wanted to liberate themselves anyway. And so that's a real powerful point about that. And also he was stating how that it was really a fallacy, because he said the Africans, they knew that they had really had won and were liberated, and that he was saying that so there was a ploy made by the North so that for them to save face of the fact that the Africans had really, the great liberation work that they did. And so that was just a farce that they presented, that, the soldiers came.
Well, once again, they're going to write the story the way they want the story to be written and state it and say it. That's the bottom line, so really doesn't make, it does make a difference. Let me just say that correctly. It does make a difference when we tell our side of the story and then cling to our side of the story. But as far as the society is concerned, Caucasians are going to say it and tell it the way they want it to be told, because they don't want
it. As if they were heroic with it.
Sure. And they want
when we
heroic.
Were the real heroes.
Mm-hmm. Of course they're the ones that are always going to glorify themselves and make themselves heroes. Here we come to save the day. That's their mentality. And that's their belief.
Yeah, and they were just such great warriors. It was just the greatest warriors that the world had seen. The Africans was just born for our liberation. And so I think that's a great part of Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. that, you know, we were fighting for our liberation and how, you know, the great things that we did, the courageous things, the freedom fighting things mm-hmm. That we did. Mm-hmm. And not just so much, because they try to turn it around with, gee, this was so nice of the Northern soldiers to come to tell us mm-hmm. that they had freed us. And this, my cousin was saying that, you know, we had already known that and was, so this was.
Well, we didn't know that in.
No, he was saying they did. He was saying that we did know that. He said that was a fallacy. A lot of the people knew that. This, talking about they waited 2 years, he said that was an implausibility. You know, from his research. So,
okay. So he's saying that that they knew and we knew that we were free based upon the Emancipation
Proclamation.
Right, but
they didn't come and tell us that 2 years later. He was saying his position was that would be a fallacy. That for 2 years, you know, we didn't know, and then they just came to tell us, and then they said they were real weak when they did try to come tell, you know, present the facade. So, yeah, he had to explain more of the details about it, but it was real fascinating
to me,
get that, and he, you know, like I said, he was giving some references. Yeah.
Well, let me just say it this way to my sister, that in certain areas or so-called pockets of the South, we were still in captivity. We have been still in captivity even into the 1970s.
Right.
There were some of us who Europeans, Caucasians, crackers, Urugu, had continued to make us work for nothing and hold us in bondage for nothing, you know.
Mm.
So that, I understand that, and I agree. But in terms of a mass of us, you know, that is why it's believed that there's a mass of us who did not get this information in the southeastern portion of Texas, Houston area, and all surrounding where we were still, because Texas was a big captive state. And so we continued to labor until that troop led by Granger came down into the Galveston area, Texas area, and read that proclamation, you know.
Yeah, that was, he was just rebuking that part of it.
Okay.
He can just present and get some information, because it was great. I mean, I could believe that. He said that we did the fighting. They said the Africans freed themselves, and the North knew that they needed the Africans to
That's a proven part of history. That's a proven part of history that we turned the tide in the war. There's no doubt about that. We did. Mm-hmm. We turned the tide in the war, in the Civil War. So, yeah, there's no doubt about that. But even at that, though, sister, and we always think about and say things that have happened in terms of how it affected us and what we did and how it, you know, came about. And it still doesn't free us, literally. It gives us a pursuit of so-called freedom, you know. It still doesn't do that. It still holds us. It still has us, you know, in a situation where, where we're still in servitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still, we're still, and even in the so-called freedom of it, we're still second class. We're still, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. He was just saying that part of that scenario was that we had whipped them. I mean, and so it wasn't, I mean, they had really inflicted a killing on those southern Urugu monsters.
Yeah, well,
it's not covered as well as it should be. It's like, because they were courageous and they really won a lot.
Well, you know, the fact is that we knew too that we would have to get out of the areas that we had been in bondage in and go to another area where we can experience and really feel that so-called freedom, because where we were in bondage is they wanted to keep us there and keep us in that position. So just to say that you are free, now what you going to do? Where you going to go? How you going to act? What you going to be? Too. You know?
He was saying we was fighting them back, though, and was taking it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a scenario that you don't hear as much, but, you know, they have a lot of research on it, about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still, you know, you're still abomination within it. But.
Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, this is like I've often said about this society. The people that run this are open sworn enemies. That's why we can't do shit here. There is no real emancipation. There is no real freedom. There is no choice here, because this is theirs, not ours. And even though we have, many of us and so-called leadership of us have tried to make us understand this is just as much ours as it is theirs, it's bull. This is theirs, and they run it. You know, and they will continue to do so. And we will always be relegated to a lower position. There will never be true equality in a society run by Urugu as it relates to us. It never will be. And I challenge anybody otherwise.
Yeah, I believe that we can win. I believe that we can win some battles.
Well, and we can win some battles.
But
sister,
know,
do you win the war?
And
when you talking about just winning some battles, but it ain't about the battles.
I believe we can be victorious.
Ultimately be victorious.
I think the Urugu wants us to believe we can't never win and that they're going to always dominate. But I don't believe that.
Maybe you're not listening to me here. I'm saying here, the only place that we have a chance of ultimately winning against this evilness, against the Urugu virus that has been infecting us and making us behave and act the way we do, is on the continent. It's not here.
Yeah, I agree with you
that the continent is
the ultimate place.
Yes, it's not
but
here.
But I still believe that we should be fighting, and I believe we can have a lot of victories and, you know, liberation for ourselves, too. And so I believe in both.
Well, I know you're a positive sister, and I respect you, and I love you for that. You know, you always want to accentuate the positive and the positive attitude, and I agree.
And that, right, and that was something with what we were talking about with this June 16th, that, you know, even though they was lying and conniving and being atrocious, the fact that our people were just so brave and so courageous and, you know, fighting for our people and liberation, that was the part that they were emphasizing about this June 10th, June 16th day, you know. So, for example, I know I have a granddaughter who's six, and so they was off from school today or whatever, and she's going to be doing her African dance and her cultural thing and just so proud that she's a Black African. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so I lift that, and I said, you were just so beautiful. And then, you know, I want to tell you some more truth about it, how, you know, and just tell them, you know, the great things that, you know, how the great accomplishments, and, you know, mm-hmm. that we made.
Okay.
And so just taking the positive out of that part of, you know, the truth about how,
once again, you can romanticize about it, and you can feel good about it. You can think very positively about what happened then. You can get a vision of Granger saying what he's saying on that balcony, and all of us rejoicing, and now we're gonna leave the plantation. I don't know where the hell we gonna go, you know, because Texas.
Where was our 40 acres and a mule?
Yeah, Texas is a vast state. Well, I mean, even at the 40 acres and a mule, which we never got.
That would have been helpful.
Yeah, I'm quite sure.
People did get it, and most of us, a lot of us didn't.
But see, once again, you know, Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Even though we went to places and band together and pulled our resources and did for ourselves and became successful at doing these things, those towns and villages were ultimately destroyed by evil, selfish, greedy crackers. You look at Rosewood in Florida, wiped it off the map. They wiped it off the map. They had to do the research to find out where it exactly was and what happened. You look at Oklahoma, Tulsa specifically, because of the oil that was found in Tulsa, many of the American Africans who went to Tulsa or went to Oklahoma through the Trail of Tears became equally successful and rich, okay, because of that. And Tulsa became a boom town. Many people started to come to Tulsa, you know?
Wonderful.
And then look what happened in 1921. They destroyed it.
Right. You know, we had talked about that last week, and you know how they fight for reparations. And I had wanted to make a correction about their ages because I was hearing that the sister's 109. You know, there's two sisters.
One is 109. I know that she's up there. I know she's up there.
And this is what she wanted, was her reparations.
But what happened?
So we're still fighting for her to get it.
But what happened?
You know. Like I was saying, the appeal court,
they denied
her. No, we don't think it's a nuisance.
And they denied
her. Then they've appealed that, and they're going to have another appeal.
Yeah.
You know, there's a call. They're calling for people to, make calls and send letters.
They'll continue to deny. They will continue to deny her, and they'll continue to appeal until she passes away.
Well, I pray not. I'm praying that we're gonna be fighting for. And then you have genocide Biden who's trying to get the black vote, and so they have people saying, if you want this, we want you. You got to make sure that she gets this sister get her reparations.
There it is. That would be a good one. Well, listen, you see what he did to win this vote. He made Kamala Harris his vice president. Because why? She could garner the African female vote, which is one of the largest voting blocks in this country. Even though Caucasians outnumber us tremendously, but also too women, period. But the Caucasian women, and that showed in the election of 2016. They didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, who was a very flawed candidate to begin with.
Very flawed.
You know.
And remaining flawed.
Yeah. So really, a lot of times, Caucasian women will vote with their Caucasian men because their mindset is the same. You know, yes, there are some women who are feminists who don't agree with white men, and they might have voted for Biden. But the fact of the matter is, if only Caucasians voted, Barack would have lost and Biden would have lost.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, Elliot was talking about, this situation with the Greenwood and the sisters, and we were talking about things could do. They were talking about it on Sunday. And, saying a lot of people hadn't heard about this fight, but that was just a move that was making to just what I had just mentioned with the petitions and the calls and demanding, like we said, Biden, genocide Biden, because he has the power to do that, so whatever.
Yeah, well,
I just like it for the sisters. This is what they want. They want their reparations, and I support them to have it.
Well, I support reparations too, but not in the context of people getting money. And some people,
want.
And some people like Adolf,
they want their land. And yeah. I think that, you know.
See, my contention is to hell with that.
The hell because, with what? This is what they want. The hell no, with the money no, the and the hell, land that
let
they
me just
want
say it this way.
And
I don't mean
years.
It so harshly, but when you continue wanting to fight to stay here on somebody else's land, yes, this is the indigenous people's land. But one thing for sure, crackers co-opted it. They took it. They run it. So I don't give a damn how many indigenous
then, so
people come
we,
up
we
and talk about it. And then we want a piece of it. And I just said to you.
Well, the Greenwood was, it was, I mean, just specifically, I hear what you're saying. But Greenwood was a specific that the African people had built up that.
Yes.
That nation.
Yes.
And so I'm just saying, I feel I'm in support of them. They've been fighting for years for their reparations. And then a lot of communities support. I mean, they have some good attorneys and they still fight. So I want them to have what they want. I mean,
you know,
is,
let me say this to you. And,
yes.
and they do. And I went to Tulsa a few years ago, 2021. And to be a part of that commemoration, I know some people there. I had Brother Chief Ogumawali on the program, who is, I think, gives the best tour of Black Wall Street. If you go to Tulsa, don't deal with nobody but Brother Chief Ogumawali to talk to you about what has happened and what has happened, what is happening with Black Wall Street. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, it is theirs. It is not ours. And they will continue to let you know it is theirs. So, all right, my sister. I appreciate you.
Oh, but you know what? Remember what we had mentioned last time, too. You can do some things with money. What if the money that you got, you use that to help for your trip to fly to the continent and buy some land on the continent.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of positive things you can do with
you know what? Sister, I definitely agree with you on that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with you on that one. All right, my sister.
All right, then. So, just power to a people. Be for Hodier.
A BB for Hodier. Thank you, my sister. All right. Yeah, Sister Abia, appreciate you. Brother Paul, how you doing, man?
Baba Ochi.
Yes,
Glenn
sir.
Rising. Good afternoon. I'm absolutely feeling fantastic. Absolutely
right
elated. Even better to hear that conversation, that interjection. I'm just, it raised my spirits, the interaction between you and our beloved sister. Absolutely.
Yeah, right on. So do they mention Juneteenth Day over across the pond?
They don't, Baba Ochi.
I know they don't. I know they don't.
I wouldn't know about it unless I I think the first time I heard about it was on the Carl Nelson show, to be honest with you, and I wasn't that familiar with it. And and the second time was on Time for Awakening, so obviously you've enlightened me. But I've never heard no one talk about it, and I don't really think anybody has ever heard of it. And that does bother me it bothers me a while, because I think, this is a criticism, but it's hopefully a constructive criticism. And it's not, when I say this, I don't mean you all there in the land of America. I mean us. But Bob Alchie, can I just explain this and be clear? Because I don't
Please
want
do.
This, my
sure.
point to be, you know, the thing is, I'm fortunate to have family in different parts of the world and being able to interact in those parts, you know, going to those places. And what always interests me is the interaction with different groups of people, different groups of Black people. And what I feel I see is patterns. Patterns is what I identify. You know, we sometimes talk as if, because we're born in different places and we have different accents and we've labeled different things, we talk as if we're so different. You understand?
Right.
But
we're not.
And we do have differences. We do. There's no doubt about it. Even within our own families, we have different. You know, you can have a different blood type to your own brother.
Sure.
Okay. But the reality of it is that there are patterns of behavior. You can identify patterns. And this can apply to maybe every group. It might not just apply to us as a whole. You might be able to find them same patterns in every group.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, I think we fall down a little when we fail to promote ourselves enough. And I think that is the reason why, because, okay, it's Juneteenth and it concerns, you've set the history, and I heard a little bit about the history of it, but it's important to African-Americans. And just like Kwanzaa, I think we ourselves have to do more to promote our interests everywhere. You understand?
Yes,
and
I agree.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
And I see that lack of, and here I go again, taking the responsibility back to us. You know what, Baba Ochi, I'm going to say this here. It doesn't matter what these people do or anybody does to us or what I've heard in history. For me personally, my strength comes from the ability to respond, and that comes from my responsibility. For me, that's where my strength comes from, responsibility. I'm always going to take the – I've never said I've been bullied, but I was called a wog, coon, and all those things growing up, and I never called that bullying, because I knew when they were calling me that, when they were spitting at me, when I got punched and kicked, I knew there's going to come a time I'm going to fight back. I knew they could only do it when I was young and weak, right. And that time came.
Right.
That time came – mentally it came.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know things only last for a time, and so I don't, so me personally, I know all about history, I know what they've done to us, but at the end of the day, that ability to respond for me is always going to come from my ability to respond to the circumstance. Therefore I educate myself, therefore I find out, but now I need to fight, I need to fight back, and whatever has gone on in the past, I need to win.
Right on.
And I think that's where we fall down,
yeah,
in the pattern, in that we don't promote our interest. We don't feel it enough. Like, why don't we know about Juneteenth? If the individuals really felt it enough, everybody would know about it. Because they you just don't care. You know, you don't come on to win favoritism. You don't come on to get likes, whether people like you or not. You don't care about that. That's how I feel. I don't give a damn whether people like it or not.
Yeah.
I've thought about it enough, and I'm going to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more of us need to take that approach. I'm not saying this because of me. I don't think we feel we're not passionate enough about winning this thing. We're not passionate enough. That's how I feel, Baba Ochi.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we won't know about it. You know, anything we do, let them know.
Yeah.
Whether they want to hear it or not.
Yeah, broadcast
it.
Know. Promote it. Yeah, advertise it. Yes, I agree.
And I want it known. That's always going to be my base. Mm-hmm. You understand? I'm not going to say that I'm going to get it right every time. I'm not going to say that. And I'm not really interested in that, whether I get it right or wrong. But if I thought about it enough, let them know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they want to hear or not, let them know. Let them feel our presence. Let them know. And one last thing I want to say to you, Baba Ochi, yeah? You always talk about the mind, and I'm absolutely on that page, yeah?
Yeah.
And I want to thank the sister for tenacity. I want to thank her for that. Because the way she was saying that, you know, the point she was raising, it reminded me of, I forget the woman's name, but it was a sister in Ghana, Ashwanta. I forget her name. You know, the sister when the Ashanti was when they was trying to steal the golden stool the Ashanti,
Asantewa. Yes.
Right? When mm-hmm. when the men, the white
yes.
British men,
right.
The one of the fiercest warriors in West Africa was the Ashanti, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They had given up, Baba Ochi. This is the history. They had given up. They were ready, to down. And it was her, that woman, who said no.
Mm-hmm.
It's that woman who took up arms and says,
yes.
We ain't giving up.
That's
it doesn't
right.
matter whether they're more prepared than us and they've got a more greater army than us. We're not
yeah.
giving up. And she's the one who took up arms,
right?
Right? You have a version of those women there in American, right? With Harriet Tubman.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Right? You have a version of them. There's pictures of Harriet Tubman with a shotgun.
Yes.
That's how serious she was. Okay, so the reality of it is, if we're truth to that battle, I have to sit with the sister, right? Because in reality, right now, today in South Africa, they have voted in partnership a white party in South Africa. Those black Africans did that. Okay,
God damn.
They did that.
Oh,
right, right. So I'm just trying to point out the reality. What you're saying, go to Africa right now in South Africa, they voted in a white party to go in partnership with. Okay, that's them Africans did that. And if you look at North Africa, right, look, really check what's going on. Kenya, right? The OAE. You know how much land they own in Africa? You know the gold, which has been stolen out of Africa, 90% of it. You know where it ends up? In the OAE. Okay, that's where it up, and they then send it around the world. Who's financing Hamas in Gaza? In it, the OAE. That's where all their champions are. So who's financing all this crap in Palestine? Isn't it the Africans? But yet the Africans are in the sea. They're trying to get into Europe, drowning in the damn sea. Yeah. That's the reality of what's happening among us. So okay, I hear what you say, Baba Ochi, about Africa. But the reality, the reality of what's taking place is shocking.
Right. Well, then, you know what?
And these are Africans doing it.
You know what?
These are Africans. They're not white, man.
Yeah.
These are Africans saying out there people today.
And you know what?
So I'm just saying, I hear what the sister's saying, and I come back to what you say. Mm-hmm. No matter where we are on the planet, we have to get our minds right.
Right.
And what that means is wherever we stand on the land, we must stand up and say, no, we ain't going to just accept whatever law you make or whatever you say you're going to do. We're not going to accept that. And that must be our mentality wherever we are on the planet. Right now in Africa, trust me, it don't look too good.
No, it doesn't.
It don't look too good in Africa.
No, it doesn't. And what's problematic with that, and this is part of the conversation this past Monday with Baba Baruti in the exchange that you two had about that. Because it doesn't look good. And what he was trying to say, well, we're going to think that we will. We're going to think about we will establish independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. We will do this. With our last dying breath, we will do this until the last man standing. You know, and that's my mentality. I firmly believe it. I firmly believe it that we will do it. You know, and just as you hit me up with that South African thing, you know,
the problem we have, without me articulating it too much, I realized a long time ago, the problem we have, right, is this, you know, you have in America this game called Snakes and Ladders. Do you have that in America?
Okay.
Do you have this game called Snakes and Ladders?
Snakes and Ladders? I don't know.
Yeah, have you heard of this game?
There's another game is Shoots and Ladders.
You're not familiar with it.
It's a children's board game.
Yeah.
A children's board game. Yeah, go ahead.
Snakes and Ladders, yeah? Snakes and Ladders. So you try and get up the board, right? It's like a chess board. You try and get up the board. And if you land on the ladder, you basically climb up.
Right.
But if you land on the snake, you drop down, right? Mm-hmm. And we are playing a game of Snakes and Ladders. And like Irritated Genie articulated to us, he articulated the problem. When you had that South African brother come on, he articulated the problem in South Africa. That is the problem we have. And these people are... it's derogatory to the snake to say they're snakes, because the snake really ain't a bad creature. Mm-hmm. But they are the lowest of the low, and they are our real problem. If I tell you just recently what I learned about them in Britain, but you already know in America how these people are operating, they are pulling some strings, right, around our neck. In Africa, in Europe, in America, all around the world, they are pulling some strings. And
right.
we need to at them. We need to at them. And I'm telling you the truth. And if we're not willing to do that, well, then we might as well just go back into slavery. And this is what I mean about the mindset. It can't be just about go along to get along. We have to come. Yeah, I hear what the brother was saying on Monday. But I'm saying, look, even though I'm pilling people in the military, you got people come on this platform in the military, right? They're military trained. We got the stations we got operating here, they're military trained as well. Same, they've been in the army, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying to myself, which one of them have gone back to Africa and trained them in arms? We need some arms.
Mm-hmm.
We need proper training now. All this talking ain't going to win. You know, you go into the military. What did you go in there for? What? We need to fight. We need to organize to fight. We need to organize our mentality to fight. Because I really, call me the maddest Englishman you've ever heard of. But in reality, I have to go to the bottom line. And I don't see ourselves getting out of this position without some serious showdown. I don't see it.
Amongst ourselves.
I don't see it. And,
exactly.
And I know one thing. Yeah. I know right now, I know most of us, I'm going to say this from what I see personally. I know most of us, we ain't got the mindset for that. We ain't got it. Mm-hmm. We ain't got it. That's the way I see it. I might be wrong, but I don't think the most of us have got that mindset for this showdown, what needs to take place. Thank you for taking my call.
No, Brother Paul, appreciate that, man. And you're right. Hey, Baba, how you doing? Baba Butch, is that you? Deming, New Mexico. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, New Mexico. Okay, well. Yeah. I feel Brother Paul, and I understand it. I do, and it's, you know, from this microphone, in my heart and in my soul and my spirit, I'm positive. I may say some things and present some things that doesn't look that way, that you may feel is, you know, is negative, is unassuring, but rest assured, I'm positive in what I feel for African people. We were on this planet the first. We're on this planet, the first. And if I don't know how you want to deal with it, whether it's an evolutionary process or some creative process or whatever, it was us first. And we established the laws where human beings could strive and do well with one another. We have shown humanity. We have been humane with humanity. We have tried to build up, no matter where we were. We have never been one that this is ours, even though it's not. And we're going to take it. We're claiming it. We claim this in the name of. That is not us. There's no history of that. Oh, we secured borders. We may have marched into another territory after they have tried to, you know, come into ours to secure borders. We've done that. I know there's a history of that. But there's no history of us eliminating a people. There's no history of us exercising genocide. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Caller from New Mexico. Good afternoon. Okay. So, yeah, on this Juneteenth day, and of course, you know, if you had the opportunity to go to some of the celebrations, and of course, like I said, there will be a lot more celebrations this weekend because they, in fact, one of the things that it said in Juneteenth Day is that it's held for those that, of course, you know, you can't have the holiday, and they're having the holiday on the day of June 19th, today, in as a federal holiday today, not on a Monday. But if June 19th was Saturday, then it will be held on Friday. If June 19th was Sunday, it would be held on Monday. You know, that's another thing that I read about Juneteenth Day and how it is celebrated. And also, too, the third Saturday, or is the second Saturday. Yeah, the second Saturday. You know, well, that's kind of tough because this is, oh, the third Saturday. That's right, the third Saturday. This coming up is the fourth Saturday. There are five Saturdays in this month. There are five Saturdays in it. That's just a unique situation. So it would be the third Saturday if it was held differently. Yeah. And that would also mean that it would be after the 19th. After the 19th. So, but regardless, family, you know. Hey, Baba Butch, how are you doing? Baba Butch? Okay. Sister Abia.
Now, I was going to say maybe I'm enjoying your program, but
thank you.
I couldn't get through it first either without pressing the mute twice. I don't know, maybe
okay.
People that are calling, if you give them some instructions, maybe that's why they're not.
Right. Well, yeah, you press star twice. Well, you know, then you can get in.
Yeah.
Press star twice and you can get in and have a conversation with the brothers and sisters in our listening audience. So, okay. You got another comment, question, or concern there?
Oh, no, I was just calling to say that I'm loving the program and okay. I appreciate you. I'm appreciating Brother Paul's success. Yeah.
Right on.
You're awesome.
Right on. All right.
We've got some warriors here.
Yeah. Well, listen, you continue to enjoy the day. And I know you'll probably be at Piedmont Park this weekend. And there's, I think, in College Park, there's a Juneteenth celebration going on in College Park. If you're in that area, I may try to go that way this afternoon and see what's happening. You know, I celebrate us. You know, if we're gathering somewhere, I'm down with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right, my dear sister, peace to you. Bibi Fahodie. And Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. And brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Baba Butch, are you there? He comes in and out. And Baba Butch, are you there, dear brother? Baba Butch, are you there, elder? I don't know, something wrong with his phone.
You're muted.
Wow. Ooh, I have never heard that. That's a tough one. Yeah, but he's trying to call in. He's trying to call in. Hang up, Baba.
Baba.
See if that works.
See if that works.
Because this feedback is tripping. Hang up and start all over. See if that works. Oh, yeah. So, go. Yeah, we're getting some really serious feedback, Baba. So if you could just go ahead and hang up and try it again. If we continue that, then obviously with that kind of feedback, we couldn't have a conversation because it's reverberating, you know, and that's tough. Yeah, technology. The technology. Yeah, sometimes it works like a charm. And in fact, I must admit that this radio program has been going on Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot, and I appreciate him, and Brother Scotty Reed at Black Talk Radio Network really smoothly over the years. Yeah, there's been some problems here or there, but relatively it's been real smooth, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the, you know, giving me the opportunity to have a conversation with our people and to present a perspective that a lot of times we don't talk about or hear because it's radical, because it is going against the brothers and sisters who want and believe that somehow we can be a part of this madness and that the people who run this, you know. Baba Butch.
Yeah.
All right. How you doing, man? I can hear you very well.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can. Go
ahead.
You
can hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Listen, man, I don't know what's happening with these phones, man.
I hear you.
Well, like I said, I don't put nothing. Listen, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere, so I don't know. I ain't never had no problem with this phone.
Yeah.
But anyway, what Paul said, I concur.
Okay.
2,000%.
Right on.
And these people that are going to have these joyous occasions for June 19th, whatever, these black people, they better have some strong security, because this is a good time for these assholes to start their shit.
Yeah.
So you get out there and partying and barbecuing and dancing. You better have some security up or somewhere around where all this stuff is going on, Jim. You see,
mm-hmm.
because out here, they flying their flag big on the back of their trucks and everything else.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Brother Baba Butch, there's no doubt there's a resurgence of the mentality of hate.
You kidding me? Resurgence? Yeah. Man, these people, they're going to have a thing at Haynes Park Saturday from 10 to 2 for Juneteenth. Most of these people that live in New Mexico are from the southern black people are from the south. They're from Texas, Mississippi.
Okay, right.
Very few are from the East Coast.
Right, that's
they
true.
They don't really understand. See, they think they're making progress because they're having this Juneteenth bullshit celebration.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a park called Haynes Park on 528 mm-hmm. in Rio Rancho. They're only giving them 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Okay.
To do that little number and get the hell out of
that's
the
car. Right. That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
And when they come or leave, primarily when they leave in the park, that's when the shit starts.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have no problem with you coming to the park.
Mm-hmm.
After they went and got a couple of their beers and they sitting or wherever they be camping out at, you got to, listen, man. Black folks at this day, at this moment, at this time, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? They're out here flying flags. Everybody out here got these little trucks. Flags bigger than a goddamn truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But these people, they're looking to party and have a good time and eat barbecue and talk a lot of dumb shit. They don't read. They don't know about nothing. That's where I can understand why it took them so long to so-called realize it, that this boy wrote this emancipation and they was free 2 years ahead of everybody else. But they didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I talk to some of these people out here, they don't even know what the fuck you talk about, man.
Mm-hmm.
They think they home free. They're in the great United Snakes of America.
That's right. It is what it is. That's what it is.
Sleeping at and the natives, the indigenous people, it's pathetic, man. What they've done and still doing to these people, man, is outrageous.
Yeah.
On the down low. It's not in the newspapers, but say it takes somebody like me to go around and observe what's going on. But these black people sleeping at the wheel and the car's going off the cliff.
Mm.
It's pathetic.
Okay.
But like I said, I don't care where you live at. If you black and you celebrating all this nonsense, you better have some security, man. You better be checking people when they coming in and out black. And you got to check the black folks, too.
Oh, you got to check them. You got to check them.
God damn.
Some of them are agent. Some of them are agent provocateurs, whether they understand it or not. Because some of them are just acting that way, just acting ignorant just to be that.
They getting over for information. They getting over for information.
Yeah.
And they ain't got no principle. You talk about Africa. Man, when you say something to these people about Africa, it's like you said, you're cussing at them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're cussing at them. I go to the store the other day to the bank, Wells Fargo.
to get my finances together so I can make this trip back to New York. I'm holding the door for this little young white girl, and I guess it was her husband, or I don't know. I'm holding the outer door. She's coming from the inner door. I'm being polite. I'm holding the door. So they can, you know. Sure. And as she comes past me, I wear my mask at all times. I'm 83. She says to me, "Oh, are you coming to rob the bank today?"
Oh, she's trying to be funny.
Yeah, I'm 83 years old. I looked at this little bitch, and I'm not going to tell you what I said to her. Because no matter what I said, she don't even know what the fuck I was saying to her. I mean, but she's saying, I wear my mask all the time. I always thought the mask was a good idea. When I went to China, everybody wears a mask.
Sure.
And I don't have a problem wearing a mask.
Yeah.
But this woman, I'm holding the outer door, so being polite so they can come out the door. And she says to me, "Oh, are you coming to rob the bank today?" And I looked at that little bitch, and I said, "Man, I'm not going to say what I said." But I went inside and told the manager what happened. And he's a brother from Ghana.
Okay.
And he don't want no trouble. He's over here.
No.
You know, he wants to make it in America.
Right, exactly.
He don't want no. He said, "Oh, that's terrible. Did you get her name?" I said, "Man." I said, "Listen, I just went all about my business."
Right.
But this is what we dealing with, man. But these people that's running want to have a good time, want to be out here barbecuing and jumping around and carrying on. You better keep both eyes open at all times while you partying, because these people out here are loaded.
Yeah.
And that's and like I said, Paul, I appreciate Paul's information, because see, I like to know what's going on other places where black people live, and Paul pretty much got it down. He knows what's going on.
Oh, he knows what's going on.
Not,
sure.
He is not a fool. He's not stupid.
Yeah.
We're dealing with stupid people.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, brother. Baba Butch,
you
have a good day and a good week and a good weekend, my brother. You be safe, man.
I'm working on it, man. I'm going to Brooklyn, man, tonight.
Are you?
So what's going to be happening when I get there. What?
Oh, well, you know, hey, enjoy being home, brother.
Okay.
Take care.
Stay strong.
All right. Peace. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you all for this Juneteenth day to share it with me. Hope you have a good rest of your day, whatever you decide to do, wherever you decide to go. Because we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko: "The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed." This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell damn it don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB40 means our victorious destiny. And brothers and sisters, you know we will be victorious. Ah, Brother Ted Luss, I got to take this call. Brother Luss, how you doing, man?
You closed out now, right? Yeah.
Well, no, go ahead.
No, I would just real quick. A lot of activity here in Montgomery, Alabama, with the Juneteenth activities and the big concert later on today.
Oh, beautiful, so, beautiful.
A lot of tour buses here, and, of course, I missed a major traffic jam earlier this morning. But other than that, you see people coming and going, and I guess money being spent.
Right on.
Visitation at the Legacy Museum, et cetera. So,
yes, yes.
And everything is free. Everything is free.
Oh, is that right? So, yes, great. That's great. Right on to the brothers and sisters in Montgomery, Alabama. And for those who are near Montgomery, whether you're in Birmingham or Atlanta, it's a car drive away, a few hours, and you can partake in that atmosphere of what's happening in Birmingham, Alabama. Right on, Brother Luss. I appreciate that, man.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Peace to you. All right, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.